through Romans chapter 1 this month. And so this is part 2 of a series, and we're going to look at verse 8 through 15. And what we're trying to do here is bring to those that maybe haven't had a chance to get deep into Romans, that wonderful book of the Bible. It's heavily doctrinal, and I know there have been folks in my past that said, I don't know if I like Romans. It's all this doctrine, and doctrine is boring, but it's amazingly and entirely practical as well, because if truth in the Scripture or doctrine that comes from the Scripture doesn't change how you live your life and how you see yourself as one of God's children, that's application, then it doesn't have nearly the meaning it should. So that's what we're trying to do here, is point those things out. And this one, this session, starting with verse 8, is going to help us understand faith. Now, you may say, well, I've heard this a bazillion times. I've been in church since I was in diapers. But think about faith and what it really means and how that works in your life and in your future in this life and in the next. So, verse 8 of chapter 1. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, Paul's speaking, as we know, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Here's a faith that's famous, world famous. Woo, where does that come from? For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. So Paul's praying that he wants to go to Rome and speak to the Roman believers, both Gentile and also Jewish believers. And we know he eventually makes it. He makes it the hard way. He gets arrested and goes through a very difficult time getting there, and a shipwreck and all that happens. And eventually he's imprisoned and then released and imprisoned again and executed. But he gets there. Verse 11 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." Does your faith encourage somebody else? Is your faith known worldwide? Probably not. Certainly mine is not. The Romans were known worldwide in the church because they had to deal with faith at the hometown of the emperor who thought he was God. But does your faith encourage someone else? Do they look at you and say, boy, I wish I had your kind of faith? What a great thing. Faith is a gift to both of you. All you have to do is share back what his faith that he has given you has done in your life, and their faith will grow as well. Verse 13 says, "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but this far have been prevented in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I'm under obligation both to the Greeks," the non-Jews, who were intelligence, that was the intelligentsia of the day, "and to the barbarians," and that means the non-Greeks, the simple-minded non-Jews, "both to the wise and to the foolish, so that I am eager to preach the gospel to you and also those who are in Rome." So faith gives evidence of itself, but it can't be seen. Faith is the evidence of something unseen. Hebrews 11:1, which we won't flip to that now, you might want to look at that, says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So folks out there say, well, I'd become a Christian. I would trust in Jesus. I might even think about going to your church or becoming a part of a Christian group, but I can't see it. Where is it? It's in you. And how you express that, how you state that, how you live that is what they're looking for. Life-changing for individuals and governments is challenged. So faith throughout the empire changed the Roman government. They didn't change it by throwing riots. They didn't change it by revolution. They didn't change it by brandishing weapons and burning down whatever or causing civil discord. They changed it by loving each other and demonstrating their faith. And they changed it by two additional ideas, just briefly to touch on them. One is that we're all equal. And boy, the intelligentsia, the smart, the highly intelligent Greeks, who most of whom were slaves, and Romans who were in leadership, felt that they were superior. But Christianity says, nope, we're all the same at the foot of the cross. When we bow at the foot of the cross and receive that blood of Christ, as we become Christians by faith, we're all the same. That was offensive to the Roman culture. And then when Caesar said, I'm God, worship me, and they said, nope, we ain't doing that, that's how they got themselves in trouble. And we know that in 49 AD, the Jews were expelled. The Christians were thought to be a sect of Judaism, and the emperor was so upset with them that he just said, all of you get out of here. It changed who he was. And 300 years later, the empire, the world, the known world, became Christian. So look at 10, verse 10 and through 12 briefly. Always in prayer, asking that somehow by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you, for I long to see you. And verse 12, that is that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Your faith is important. Your faith is important to someone else. Your faith is so important to someone else that they don't understand you. They'd like to know what makes you tick, where you're coming from, what's driving you, what's your sense of purpose, your accomplishment in this world, despite difficulty and suffering and temptation and lots of other things that happen to you. So faith is unseen. It can't be measured. It can't be felt. It's not tangible, but it can be shared. Paul desires to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So faith is hope that gives evidence of itself. Let me repeat that. Faith is hope that gives evidence of itself, that is true and active in you. Trusting your life, your future, to something you cannot see or touch, but you can easily recognize it in others. This is something you can see, you can know when you come into someone else by faith. It motivates you to live a life controlled by someone else, and that someone else is also unseen. So what's next? What's coming after that? Well, we know that Christ died for us and was bodily resurrected. We go through persecution. We go through difficulty. We're rejected. The world around us thinks we're nuts. But it's your faith that comes from knowing that Christ the Messiah is here. That's how Rome got started, by the way, as we wrap this up. People attended Passover in Jerusalem, and they saw a man executed for his faith. And then 3 days later, he's alive again, physically. Hundreds of people saw him. The word got out. The Messiah is here. Jesus is here. Jesus has come for you. He died for you. He's resurrected for you. That's what faith is all about, is just expressing that to those around you, being a witness for him. Even though that occurred thousands of years ago, it's so meaningful for us today. So let's pray. So, Father, thank you for this reminder that you are alive for each one of us. You have a purpose for each one of us, and our job by faith is just to look for that, look for those opportunities to share truth with others around us, to draw closer to you by looking at your word, by answering the call that we talked about last week, by knowing that we have an eternal destiny with you and a purpose that this life is just preparing us for the next. What a great thought, what a great hope that is. For we have a hope in you, even though we can't see you, because we live by faith. I pray in Jesus' name.